Okay, we've been going through this series entitled Get Answers, Get Perspective in the past 6-7 weeks. And we've tried to answer as many questions as we can. Obviously, there are so many questions, we can't cover them in one series. And today, I'll be doing the last teaching on that series. And next week, we are introducing a brand new series. You will love this series. You need to get ready. And I know God will take the church to another level. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I was answering the question around, how do we judge prophecy? Is it even possible for us to judge the prophetic? If you are not here, I would encourage you, go onto our website. You will see part one of this topic on how to judge the prophetic, judging prophecy. And this morning, I don't want to waste time by rehashing, but last 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the tests that you can apply in judging prophecy. The kind of tests you need to put in place in order to ensure that what you're hearing is actually coming from God. Now, this morning, I want to continue to finish off judging prophecy in part two. So when you're talking about the prophetic, the question that we need to answer today is, who judges the prophetic? Who is responsible for judging the word of prophecy? Now, at the center of who should judge the prophetic is the church rising up to taking responsibility over the prophetic ministry. When we are talking about who should judge the prophetic, it goes to the church taking its full responsibility over the ministry of the prophetic. Remember, we say the ministry of prophecy is such a powerful, powerful ministry in the body of Christ that when it works the way it should work, it will empower the church, it will bring vision, it will make you excited about what God is doing, it will encourage you, it will motivate you, it will make you feel like it is possible for me to become all that God has called me to become. However, the flip side is also true, that when the prophetic is abused, a great deal of damage can take place in the body of Christ, where people are discouraged because of the prophetic. Now, in order to ensure that the aim of the prophetic is fully experienced in the church, every one of us are responsible for the judging of the prophetic. Every one of us, without exception. Why? Because every one of us, at some point, God will use you to release a prophetic word. Okay? At some point, you'll become a recipient of the prophetic. Therefore, it becomes important for you and I to be able to judge the prophetic. So, I'm going to cover with you three levels of who should judge the prophetic. The first level is the one who is giving the prophecy. You, the prophet. Prophet, I don't know. I don't understand me naming people. But the person who is giving the prophetic word, it has the responsibility to judge his own prophecy before releasing it. Now, when someone gives a prophecy, they carry a high level of responsibility with regards to how they give that word of prophecy. I have the first area of responsibility before I utter a word of encouragement. The Bible clearly teaches that the spirits of the prophets are under the prophet. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14:32. 1 Corinthians 14:32, the Bible says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. When God is using you, you do not lose control of yourself. There are so many times where people almost feel like, I couldn't help it. The Spirit of God was so strong on me that I just had to say it. No, you are still responsible for what you're uttering. You are still accountable for the way you are saying certain things. There is no room to blame the Spirit of God for forcing you to prophesy in a way that is unacceptable. There are people who blame, well, the Spirit of God was just powerful on me. What that tells me as well, even when you are experiencing such a visitation of God in the church, sometimes things become very chaotic. You hear somebody screaming in the corner there. And my question is, have they lost themselves in the process of being impacted by the Spirit of God? Sometimes people do things just for the show. They do things to draw attention to themselves. That I'm just being slain by the power of God. You are still under control. Because the Spirit of God will not come and cause chaos. So we are responsible for what we say and do. Now, other translations of this scripture, or 1 Corinthians 14:32, I don't have this on the overhead. It says here, the Living Bible says, remember that a person who has a message from God has the power to stop himself and wait for his turn. Remember, the person who is receiving a word from the Lord still has control over themselves to wait until they're given an opportunity. So when there's chaos in the house of God, God is not an author of confusion. We still need to maintain a sense of order. Now, you do not lose self in the process of giving a prophetic word. True prophets are to exercise control over their prophetic gift. True prophets are to exercise control over their prophetic gift. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. I'm talking about judging prophecy, starting with you, prophet or prophetess. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So when I scrutinize my prophecy before I release it, I will avoid shame when I say things out of order. I will be able to scrutinize this word and say, is this really from God? Hello? Is this from God? For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It is a sign of spiritual maturity to render judgment on the content of your own word. It's a sign of maturity. So when you come to me and say, I just had this sense on my heart, I couldn't hold back, and then you say this thing that is not in line with the word of God, I'm not going to blame the Spirit of God. I'm going to blame the person, the instrument. So what are some of the necessary checks and balances before giving a word of prophecy? The reason I'm sharing this, I believe God wants to encourage us to give words of prophecies to one another, to encourage one another, not to shy back. But so many times we don't know how to do it. So what are the necessary checks and balances before giving a word of prophecy? The first check and balance is this. Become your own prophet first before aspiring to become a prophet unto another. I want to repeat that. Become your own prophet before aspiring to be my prophet. Become your own prophet in your house before aspiring to be a prophet in the church. Why? Because if it works with you, it will work in the church. Glory be to God. If you haven't heard for yourself, you will not be able to hear for me. What gives you confidence to hear about me when you haven't heard about yourself? So many times we get overly excited before even realizing, but when last did I hear God speaking to me? And this is a question that every child of God should be able to ask. When last did God speak to me? When last did the Spirit of the Lord encourage me? And I could hear, this is the Spirit of God encouraging me. Become your own prophet first before aspiring to become a prophet unto others. The moment it works for me, the moment I hear a word for my wife, more and more and more accuracy coming forth, I'll be able to be confident to come to my brother and say, this is what I'm sensing about you. Because I have tried it at home. I have tried it for myself. Now, where do we even start? The question of hearing the voice of God has been mystical in the church. many people struggle. They say, I don't hear God speaking to me. Does God even speak to me? And because of that, we've been running after prophets. Whenever we hear a prophet is in the town, we run to hear what he's about to say to us. Does it mean God does not want me to know what is his will concerning me, concerning my situation right now? Well, if you look in the scriptures, you'd find that a young man by the name of Samuel, the Bible says God spoke to him three times in 1 Samuel chapter 3. But Samuel could not identify the voice of God. It was in the process of him hearing this audible voice, and he thought it was Eli. He rose up and says, "Did you call me?" Eli says, "No, I didn't call you." How many times has God spoken, but we have not been able to hear that this is God speaking? When God speaks to us, does he shout? When God speaks to us, does he speak to us in a trance? When God is speaking to us, does he bring fear in our hearts? How do we know that God is speaking to us? One of the things that I've realized is that we have complicated the hearing of God in our lives. That in the process of complicating this process, we have missed the very voice of God. And I must say to us, very, very few people have heard the audible voice of God. Very few people. But is God not speaking? God is speaking. The first thing for you to hear the voice of God is expect God to speak to you. As simple as that. When you are praying, do you expect God to speak to you? Do you know how I know the answer? Is what you do as soon as you finish talking. As soon as you're done talking and presenting your petitions, what do? We rise up and we go. We don't expect God to speak. Do you know how I know the answer? We ask the question, we don't wait for the answer. How many times have we asked God but never waited to hear him speak back? That is the problem in the body of Christ. That we've only mastered the ability of speaking to God but never to wait and listen to God. Especially in the charismatics, we are very loud in our prayers. The decibels are so high. And my question is, in the process of having high decibels, how does God speak to the church? How does God speak to me? My question to us again is, if you are married, when you speak to your hubby, do you say, "Hubby, listen to me, this is what I'm saying to you"? But that's how we speak to God most of the time, don't you? You see, when you look at prayer as conversation, it will change the way you pray. It will change your level of expectation. And I want you to know, God has been speaking to you. You've just been distracted. Maybe you've been told the way God speaks, you've got to hear an audible voice. But no, when God speaks, he does not scream. He will speak with a still small voice. And when he speaks, he is looking for a stilled spirit. He is looking for a quietened spirit. He is looking for a spirit that is at rest. He is looking for a spirit that is anticipating to hear the Father speaking. Glory be to God. So when God speaks, is he screaming to us? Or he comes in the quietness of our spirit man? 1 Kings 19 verse 11. This is the story of Elisha. When he was running away from Jezebel, he was running to Mount Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. He wanted to meet God. He was in fear. He was afraid of what Jezebel had threatened to do in his life. And there he ran to the Mount of the Lord, and he was in that cave. I don't know how he was expecting God to speak to him. But what I know, he was expectant. He wanted to hear God speaking. The Bible says in verse 11, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. I'm sure Elisha was like, yeah, he comes. This is how he comes. He's a mighty God. Because of his mightiness, maybe in the shaking of the rocks, the Lord will speak. But the Lord was not in that noise. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Are you expecting something extraordinary for you to know that God has spoken? I'm sorry, it will not be extraordinary. It will be in the day-to-day way of living. It will be in your process of driving to work. A thought drops in your spirit, man, that you are not thinking of. That is how the Lord speaks to you, child of God. It's not an extraordinary event that will happen that will say God has spoken. It might be your child, your young child, who speaks back to you and says to you, Mommy, should we not trust God? Mommy, should you not believe God for this? And then God has spoken to you. I'm just waiting for God to speak. Lord, you haven't spoken to me. I have this problem. But he says, I've told you, trust me. How do we expect God to speak to us? The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I want you to think back. I want you to think back and say, have I ever experienced an impression in my heart that was not of my own initiative? That was not of my own concoction. It was just a drop in my spirit, man. And I knew, this is not of me. I want to encourage you this morning to demystify the hearing of God. You see, Elisha was in the process where there was no written word. They had to depend on what God was saying to them audibly or in a different way. But today, child of God, God is forever speaking through his word. God is forever revealing mysteries through the Bible. I don't know whether you believe that the written word is actually God speaking to you. We have complicated it to a point that when we read the word, we actually don't believe God is speaking to us. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? The voice was not coming from the fire, not from the wind. The voice was not coming from the earthquake. It was a still, small voice. People of God, God is speaking. And he has been speaking. And he will continue speaking. Glory be to God. The question is, are we expecting him to speak? I want you to know that he communicates from his spirit to your spirit. That is how God communicates. He communicates from his spirit to your spirit. And then your mind will enable you to hear what has come through to your spirit. Hello? The state of your mind will either hinder you from hearing God or will enable you to hear more of God. The state of your mind. God speaks in simple ways. He speaks to you about small issues of life. I don't know, do you engage God when you go shopping? Do you ask God, should I buy this attire? Hello? I don't know. This is the issue. The Bible says, unless you become like children, you will not experience the kingdom of God. If you are not able to converse with God on menial issues, how do you expect to hear God on bigger issues? Whenever I counsel people who want to get married or who are trusting God for wives or husbands, I say to them, before you want God to speak to you about a wife, let him speak to you about your finances. Let him speak to you about the small matters of life. Then he will entrust you with greater things. Hallelujah. When last did God speak to you about letting go of a sin in your life? God has been telling you. And because we haven't paid attention to that, we've not been able to graduate to other dimensions. You've got to pass certain levels for you to go to your next level of hearing God. When God has told you to forgive and you don't forgive, you haven't listened to his voice. But when he prompts you to forgive and you forgive, guess what? You remember how he spoke to you about letting go of that sin. Why? Because he will speak in the same way. People are wired differently. You will hear God the way God has wired you. I will hear God the way God has wired me. But I have to get used to that way. Glory be to God. Next thing, you need to spend more time with him in fellowship. How much time do you spend with God? What do I mean in fellowship? In prayer, in worship, in reading the word. The more time you spend with someone, the easier it is for you to hear their voice. I've been married for 13 years. If my wife is behind those walls, I can hear her laughing because I know that this is my wife. There's no one else who laughs like her. Why? Because I've heard this laughter over and over and over and over. If my wife calls me and she's using a different line, I can identify this is my wife. Why? It's because I've heard you speaking to me over and over and over again. I've spent, well, the 15 years, 13 years of marriage, 2 years of dating. Okay? Now, my question is, how much time do you spend with the Father? The one who wants to speak to you. When you go to work, what are you listening to? Those of you, I mean, these days, whether you're in a text or what, people have got earphones. What are you listening to? Are you listening to, quieter music? The old Mendoza songs? Whatever it is, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you need to spend more time with him, because the more time you spend with someone, the easier it is to recognize their voice. We've got to remove the clutter in our lives. One of the reasons why we just jump off from our prayer time, it is because towards the end of your prayer, you're already thinking about your projects. You're already thinking about what you need to prepare for your kids. You're already thinking about the fights that are waiting for you at work. And then you don't allow God to speak to you. We've got to remove the clutter in our lives. What do I mean? Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. After prayer, allow the Spirit of God to drop something in your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to speak back to you in the quietness of your spirit man. Now, you need to develop the mind of Christ for you to be able to hear the voice of God in your life. For you to be able to say, this impression is not out of my doing. This impression is the Father speaking to me. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. In the New King James Version, the Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Conformation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. Have you ever heard people saying to you, is that the will of God for you? You see, it sounds like a very good question, but I also think it's an intimidating question. Sometimes people want to manipulate you by saying, are you sure this is the will of God? But the will of God has been so, there's a myth around the will of God, as if God is playing hide and seek with us. I don't know what has been your understanding around the will of God. It's as if God does not want us to know his will. But for me, as a father to my children, I would want my father to know what I want them to do. Am I going to hide stuff behind just to catch them doing the wrong thing? And then when I catch them doing the wrong thing, I spank them. Is that our picture of God? That God doesn't really want me to know his will. Then why do we make it difficult to get to know the will of God? It should not be difficult. Now here, Paul says here, the starting point is for you to remove yourself from the worldly system and experience a transformation in your life. And through that transformation, you'll be able to prove, you'll be able to attest the will of God for you. Let's read this in the Living Bible. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Guess what? That is where a lot of things fail. That is where the wheels come off. When we copy the behavior and customs of this world, when we live like we are part of the world, and then we expect God to speak to us. It says here, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. When we are engrossed in the worldly system, we are so detached from where God is. But when you spend more time in his presence, through what you meditate, through what you listen to, through what you see, your proximity to God is so close that when he wants to drop something in your spirit man, he finds your spirit man accessible. Hello, somebody. I want you to know, after indulging in something that is not of God, you've got to do a lot of work to get closer to the presence of God. That is why when we come to church, some people quickly break into the presence of God in worship. Why? They prepared themselves before coming to church. But some are as dry as a dry wood. Why? Because last night, early this morning, stuff was happening, and now all of a sudden they want the worship team to crank them up to enter into the presence of God. Now the Bible is telling us here, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Because when you get closer to God through fellowship, you'll be able to easily pick what's on his heart. You'll be able to determine that which is perfect, that which is good for you, which is on the heart of God. The Bible says the Spirit of God has revealed to us the things that has been freely given to us by God. So when you walk with the Spirit of God, it becomes easier and easier to hear the word. Let's read that in the Message. The Message Bible says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't get too used to the system that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Instead, look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. When we do that, I want you to know he will reveal to you the secret things that are in him. You will be, instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. That happens when you focus your attention on God. When you start your day with a prayer and you finish up the prayer saying, Lord, as I rise up today, show me your will for me today. It says here, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, I'm talking about renewing your mind. A renewed mind is essential to a successful inquiry of the will of God. A renewed mind. When you replace old thoughts with the new thoughts of God. When you start thinking about everything that is good, everything that is praiseworthy, everything that is beneficial, everything that brings glory to God. When you start thinking like that, the thoughts of God will be easy to be imprinted in your spirit man. Glory be to God. That is a process that we need to go through to hear the voice of God. You need to recognize God's voice. Above all other voices. I want you to know there are so many voices. There's a voice of your wife, the voice of your husband, the voice of your pastor, the voice of your father-in-law, the voice of your boss at work, the voice of the taxi driver, the voice of the Uber driver, the voice of your children, the voice of, I don't know. The question is, in the midst of all these voices, are we able to recognize the voice of God? That is where we complicate things. But this is the key, John 10:27. Jesus talking about his sheep. He says here, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Are you a sheep? If the answer is yes, it means you have capacity to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice and I know them and they follow me. Every sheep hears the voice of its master. Every child can recognize its mother's voice. Some of you right here, you can still hear your mother speaking to you. If your mother was very, very, very tough on issues of cleaning out dishes after a meal, you might be married right now, and whenever there are dishes in your sink, you can hear your mama telling you, clean them up, clean them up. Hello? Some of you can still hear your papa's voices. Now, Jesus is saying, my sheep hears my voice. When you go to Isaiah 30, verse 21, the Bible says in the ESV, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Your ear shall hear a voice behind you telling you, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Bring me up the Living Bible. He says, and if you leave God's paths and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you saying, no, this is the way, walk here. Every child of God who is born of the Spirit of God has had the guidance of the Spirit of God. But many times we have not paid attention. So many times after hearing the voice of God, we are so quick to move on, we need to be able to interrogate, how did he speak to me? When he told you to do something specific, you need to ask yourself, how did I hear that? How did I know that he spoke to me that I should bring this thing for my friend? How did I know that? We just say, oh, well, I just had this sense in my heart. What is that sense? If you leave God's paths and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you. By experience, you can learn to recognize God's voice. As you obey from the small things, you'll be able to recognize the voice of God and you'll be able to hear him even for the bigger things. God will never send you a message that contradicts the Bible. That is one of the clear tests. God will never send you a word that contradicts the Bible. And when the voice of God comes, listen to this, God's voice carries the weight of authority within it. God's voice carries the weight of authority within it and expresses a spirit of peace, confidence, joy, reasonableness, and goodwill. Those are key characteristics you can look for as you are wanting to hear in God. When he speaks to you, it has an authority within it. There are times where you feel cut in your spirit, man. You feel convicted about a certain issue. That's the authority of the voice of God. But when he does it, he expresses peace, confidence, joy, reasonableness, and goodwill. I said to you this morning as I was preparing, they were talking about the perfection of God. I just had a great sense in my spirit, man, saying, God is so perfect for us to fail. That built faith inside of me. God is so perfect for us to fail because there's no detail that eludes him. Glory be to God. Now, can I continue saying God hasn't spoken to me about the church? God hasn't spoken to me about my own life? And yet through that song, God just dropped in my spirit, man, that I'm so perfect. Now, when you listen to a song, are you listening to hear the message behind the song? As I'm preaching right now, it might not be everything that matters to you, but there is a message within a message for every child of God. When you listen with your spirit, man, you'll hear, and you can leave this church now and say, well, the pastor preached about a lot of things, but that one thing, guess what? The Lord spoke to you. When you listen to messages, you've got to hear the message behind the message. For you, that becomes a rhema, the spoken word. You see, you move from that place of a logos, the written word. You move to that spoken word that speaks to your spirit man. Then you're able to hear God. That is what builds faith, when God speaks to you that way. So we are saying, when God speaks to you, there's an authority in the voice. But that authority doesn't cause you to feel condemned. What it does, it brings a level of conviction. There's peace about it. There's confidence about it. There's joy about it. There's goodwill about God when He speaks to you. Now, when you hear a certain thought that leaves you scared, that leaves you feeling intimidated, that leaves you feeling unsafe, that leaves you feel insecure, is that from God? It can be from God. That is why I said, be able to distinguish the voice of God. So when the enemy speaks, he will not leave you feeling joyful. When the enemy speaks, he will not leave you feeling at peace. He will leave you feeling confused. He will leave you feel like, I'm going to leave this marriage. It's not going to work. But the Spirit of God speaks and says, it's going to be well. I will work it out for your good. So that's how we distinguish all of these voices. Now, you need to line it up with the Word of God. When God speaks to you, line it up with the Word of God. Why? God will never tell you to do a thing that contradicts His Word. Is it in line with the Word of God if you have a sense in your heart to go and give your neighbor a packet of cookies? Is it in line with the Word of God? It speaks of generosity. It speaks of hospitality. Now, the question is, will you take it seriously? Or you think, it's just one of my thoughts? But one day when you choose to obey those kind of things, you'll be surprised. You'll knock at your neighbor's door. I've got this lunchbox of cookies. I just sort of dropping them. And she will tell you, I was believing and trusting God for something to eat. The reason why we don't hear God, we view these thoughts very simplistically. That we miss God speaking to us. I'm not saying to you, jump upon every thought. But there are certain thoughts that will stick in your spirit man long enough. There are thoughts that will haunt you long enough. You feel like, I need to call my mom. Yeah. Haven't you felt that before? I need to call my mom. You ignored it in the morning. In the afternoon, like, I need to call my mom. I'm just thinking about my mom. The choice is yours. After a thought has lingered long enough to do something about it or to ignore it. God is speaking all the time. Line it up with the scriptures. God trains us to recognize His voice through His written word. When you read the word, you get the word into your life. You'll be able to recognize the voice of God over your life because the litmus test is the word of God. When you carry the word of God, you'll be able to hear the very voice of God. All of that is coming from that whole issue of become your own prophet before wanting to be a prophet to the church. Because you'd have tried it at home. You have made mistakes. You know, that's not how I hear God. That was something else. That was my own fleshly thoughts. Just my own thoughts. This is how I distinguish the voice of God in my own thoughts. Glory be to God. So, we've been talking about here the necessary checks and balances for giving a word of prophecy. You become your own prophet first. What is the second criteria? You need to ask yourself, is this word consistent with what the Bible says? Does it contradict the scripture or violate any biblical principles? So you're asking yourself, does this word line up with what is written in the Bible? And if you're a person who knows the word, your answer won't be far away. You'll be able to know. I mean, if God has spoken to you about finances, you know, He's spoken to you and says, I want you to give. Can you line that up with the word of God? Is there anywhere that you can find in the Bible that speaks about giving financially? The Bible speaks of sacrificial giving. It speaks of a cheerful giver. It speaks of give not from a place of compulsion. You give from a place of conviction. Number C, will this word bring edification, exhortation, or comfort? So before you give me the word, you need to ask yourself, this word, does it give comfort? Does it give exhortation? Does it bring edification to this person? Even if it is a word of correction, the way you give a word of correction should still leave the recipient of the word to feel encouraged, to feel inspired to do the right thing. So you need to ask yourself, does this word bring edification, exhortation, and comfort? Number D. You see, when God speaks, sometimes he's speaking to you and as an individual, not to somebody else, not to the church. For whom is this word to be given? Is this a personal word for me or is it for the entire church? There are times where God will speak to you in the middle of the service. And you need to be able to distinguish, is the Lord speaking to me? Does it have to do with specifics in my life? Or it has to do with specifics in the church? That will differentiate the two. That, this word here is for me. There are times that God speaks to me, and I know this word here is for me. I remember one day I was praying to God about certain things in the church. And the Lord said to me, the reason why I have allowed these things to happen, it is because you are writing your own story of faith. Should I come here and say, guys, you are writing your stories of faith? I could say that. Say, this is what God is saying to the church. No, he spoke to me. I'm writing my own story of faith. Glory be to God. If I then say to the church, this is what God is saying to the church, then I'm missing the whole point. I've got to be able to distinguish whether this is for the church or it is for me as an individual. Number five, point number E. Now we're talking about giving a word of prophecy to the church, because I know God is going to speak to you. The question is this, am I a committed member of this church with a demonstrated love for and loyalty to the individual members of this congregation? Before I can stand up and just say, Pastor, this is what the Lord is saying to me, I must ask myself, do I feel that I'm a member of this church and I'm a committed person? I'm loyal to what God is doing here? Because God will speak to you when he sees your heart concerning the church. It's different when we call a prophetic person here. We have called him, and therefore God will give him the grace to speak to the church. But for every one of us here, we need to ask ourselves, because you see, God will speak to you concerning things that matter to you, things that are dear to you. The Lord will start giving you a word around that. Number six, ask yourself, why do I want to give this word at this time? Now you are judging your motives. Why do I want to give this word at this time? Is it my heart to strengthen the church or to strengthen this person? The motivation is very, very key. If the motivation is wrong, more often than not, that word is your own word that you're busy bringing forward. Why do I want to give this word to this person? Sometimes you want to give a word in order to gain ascendance and control over somebody. You wanna create a certain level of expectation. In other words, you want them to look at you as a more spiritual person. You need to ask yourself, why do I want to give this word now? Number seven, what is my personal attitude towards the person at this time? What is my attitude towards Monroe? Am I not in a good space with him? If I am not in a good space with him, maybe it's time just to hold back until my heart is right with him. Because when my heart is right, I'm able to give a word correctly without other stuff around that word. Hello? Very, very key. Ask yourself, what is your personal attitude towards the person at this time? Number H, is there any bitterness or lack of forgiveness in my heart that might taint the word that I'm about to give? I want you to know bitterness and lack of forgiveness defiles. Because you are a conduit through which God wants to deliver a word. If a conduit is dirty by itself, guess what? The word released is pure, but when it comes out, it's no longer pure. Because the person has bitterness in their hearts. The person has unforgiveness in their hearts. And then the way they give it, it becomes tainted. So before you want to release words, you need to deal with your heart. Because the word of God and the prophetic, it's a heart matter. You've got to be able to release the word with a pure heart. Number I, is this word consistent with what God has been saying to the church in this season? What has God been saying? Is this totally on tangent to what God has been saying already? If it is at a tangent, maybe you need to subject that word to more prayer for you to be able to really understand what God is saying. And if he continues speaking, oh, by all means, bring it up and let's test the word. Does somebody hear me this morning? Number J, what seems to be the best time? What seems to be the best time, place, and context for this word to be given? Context is key. Does this word have to be given in public, or this word has to be given in private? If I receive a word for you, depending on the nature of the word, can I utter it in public, or we go into behind doors and we speak? Every child of God, you've got to ask yourself, can I speak this in public? What will it do? Some words could be quite embarrassing. All right? But we are not out to embarrass anyone. We are out to build, to edify, and to exhort. Those are the key fundamentals in giving a prophetic word. Number K, is this the type of word that the pastor should be aware of before it is given to the congregation? Yes, I'm not saying you're not a prophet, but you need to ask yourself, is this not a type of word that I need to give to the pastor first before I utter the word to the congregation? That is a safety net. I'll touch on that as I'm about to go to the next point. The next criteria that you need to look at, number I, am I overstepping my authority in this congregation to give a word of this nature? Am I overstepping my authority in this church? You've got to ask yourself. Then if it has to be issues of authority, then you subject it to the leadership of the church. This goes to individual prophetic words. I remember I had a prophetic word for one of the pastor's wives. Okay, pastor's wives. I could have picked the phone and say, hey, pastor, this is the word I had for you. But I felt I'm now overstepping if I go direct to this wife and not go through the husband. Can you see protocol? It was so graphic, this word that I received, that I said, I'm not going to go direct to the wife. I'm going to go to the husband. I phoned the husband, and the husband said to me, you know what, Pastor M, this word you need to tell my wife directly. I give you authority to speak to her directly. He then prepared her and says, listen, Michael is going to phone you. There's a word he needs to give you. Why did I do that? I did not want to overstep my authority. I did not want to violate basic principles. So you need to ask yourself, what is the best way of presenting this? Should I go via somebody else? Does that make you less of a prophet? No. All you're doing is you're maintaining the integrity of the prophetic ministry. Glory be to God. So we need to ask ourselves, are we overstepping our authority in certain areas? We are not saying don't give the word. I did not stop from giving the word, but I went to the husband of this wife. This is the word I have for your wife. Can I tell you? Then you can pass it on to her. And he says, no. The nature, please go straight to her. Very, very important. Number M, am I willing to allow this word of mine to be judged by others without feeling like everyone must agree with my personal analysis of it? Are you prepared to subject your word of prophecy to judgment? Remember what I said 2 weeks ago. You are not the author. You are not the source of the word. You are simply an instrument that God is using. And there is safety when we check each other. When you call somebody, say, listen, this is what I'm sensing. Just check it with me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. At least I'm trying to obey God. And that pleases the heart of God. Glory be to God. Another issue. Am I willing not to give this word if the leadership of the church feels that it is not appropriate? Are you okay to walk away When the church says, I don't think it's appropriate, I don't think that word is appropriate to be given. You need to be able to trust God so much that if it was Him who spoke, He will speak through other means. Glory be to God. You release the word, you tell the leadership, and if they're not comfortable with it, you leave it there. That is humility. Yes. Glory be to God. Now, in applying these checks and balances, it will help protect, you know, the prophetic ministry and to minimize mistakes and errors in the body of Christ. Now, let's look at level two on who should judge the prophetic. It's other prophetic ministries. That's another level of who should judge the prophetic. Other prophetic ministries. One of the patterns you'll find in the New Testament is that prophets worked in tandem. Prophets worked together. There's always a problem when a prophet isolates themselves. And they think they are the prophet and no one can question their prophetic word. Prophets worked in tandem. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lysias of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Can you see it was a group of prophets and teachers who were working together in this church? They were now checking on each other. Go to Acts 15:32. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brothers in many words. Judas and Silas, them being prophets. So there isn't an issue of feeling, he's taking over, he's having more say. No, there is no competition. We complement one another in our ministries. That is why the Bible talks about we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ, every part does its own role and then the body functions fully. And we need to encourage that in our churches. Now, those whom God has called as prophets have heightened sense of what God is saying. So if I am amongst prophets, they should be able to attest to what I'm saying because they have a heightened sense of what God is doing. And I want us to be encouraged not to shy back from getting our words of prophecy tested. The last level of judgment, it is the leadership of the church. I've already alluded to this, but I want to emphasize this. The last level of judgment. You see, when God calls people into ministry and He calls pastors to lead churches, He gives them the spiritual jurisdiction over the church. In other words, the leaders of the churches have the final responsibility on what is given, what is fed in the church that God has called them to. That is why in the book of the Revelation, when Jesus was addressing the seven churches through John, He was saying, write to the angel of the church at Laodicea. Okay? He says, write to the angel at the church. He was speaking of the head leader at the church of Laodicea. In other words, the person that God has given authority to be overly responsible over the spiritual affairs of the church. So the senior pastor and the elders of the church have a God-given responsibility to feed, to care, and to protect the flock. That is why it's important. Look at Acts 20:28 with me. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Okay? For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. This was Paul exhorting the elders, saying you have a responsibility to watch. You have a responsibility to protect. You have a responsibility to feed. And therefore, when God has given us godly leaders, it is for our good to submit that to them. Because they are accountable. Look at this, Hebrews 13:17. Why it is important. It says here, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. The reason why we need to submit these words to them, it is because they have an accountability role. They will give account to God. I will give account to God. Says here, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable to you. Very, very key. So this whole issue of accountability starts with the head pastor, but the pastor has got delegated authority from God. So when the pastor, as long as he's under the authority of Jesus, you should be able to trust that pastor. Paul says, follow me, why? As I follow Christ. The moment the pastor moves away from the headship of Christ, they lose their covering. Because the Bible says, Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the family. Now, the same thing applies in the church. Christ is the head of the church. And then he's the head of the pastor who is there. And then everybody else falls under that. That is why it is important to submit that to the pastors. Now he says here, don't make it difficult for them. God has given me authority, but I also delegate the authority. Now in our different teams here, we've got the ushering team, we've got the worship team, we've got the hospitality team. The question is, if you are working in that team, are you making it easy for the person leading you to lead with joy? If you have an issue with them, or you have an issue to speak and they say to you, I don't think it is for now, are you able to step back and say, I will not because you have said so? Yeah. The Bible says here, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you or for you. I want to encourage you this morning. Tap into the prophetic. God wants to speak through you. God wants to use you as a conduit to minister to people around you, to minister to your children, to minister to your wife, to your husband. You see your wife is discouraged. Ask the Lord, what word would you have for her? What word would you have for her? You see somebody in the church, they're going through a difficult time. You say, Lord, what word would you have for them? When you wait long enough, the Lord will give you a word for somebody. Hallelujah. I want us to stand up on our feet this morning. I want you to pray for yourself around this whole issue, but more so about hearing His voice. The Bible says the Lord speaks either through a vision or a dream, but does man perceive? The Lord speaks through a vision, through a dream, but does man perceive? That is the key this morning. I want you to say, Lord, I want to hear you speaking to me. Lord, speak to me. Show me. Give me prophetic dreams. Because the Lord wants to speak to you. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So we're going to pray right now. Pray for yourself. Some of you have been receiving prophetic dreams, but recently they've dried out. You can pray right now. Say, Lord, awaken that gift in me. Stir up that gift in me, Lord. Shall we pray?